Peaceful, peaceful, peaceful peace. Peaceful, peaceful, peaceful peace.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of The Deen Show, which is a way of life we try to put out there for everyone to see, helping you understand Islam and Muslims. And we got a very hot topic for you today. Jahannam, the hellfire, paradise, so sweet, delightful. This is something that we're all trying to strive for. Hellfire, we're trying to stay away from it. And we're bringing on our special guest. We'll take a break to let you read about him. Doctor in training, Sheikh Tafiq, sit tight. We're going to bring him out in a second on The Deen Show. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
We like to get straight down to the topic.
Okay.
You have a series that you did, Journey to the Hereafter, and we encourage everyone to go to the website, thedeenshow.com. We have his series. It's under the video page, and it takes you through a step-by-step of what happens when death reaches you, and then the steps from there. Mm-hmm. Now, we want to ask you some specific questions. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, we try to reach out to the non-Muslims and explain to them about Islam and in a very simple way. Now, one thing we like for you to simplify is this misconception that everyone dies in peace. You've heard this word, you know, he went to a better place.
Yeah.
He at least he died in peace. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. Allahumma stan. This is such a difficult topic to talk about, you know, because really it's the most difficult time of a person's life. You know, we think that everyone dies in peace, right? But the Prophet ﷺ told us something else. He said in the authentic hadith, it's in Abi Dawud and Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said that إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ لَغَمَرَاتُ وَإِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ لَسَقَرَاتُ. Verily, death has its trials and tribulations, and death has its turmoils and its stress and pressure and pain. That's amazing, because the Prophet himself was going through a lot of pain and difficulty in his own time of death. And we know that the Prophet was actually asked for a bucket of water to be brought, and he kept on dipping his hand in there and then rubbing his face and then dipping his hand into it and then rubbing his face. And then, you know, Fatima radiallahu anha walked in and said, Ya Abi, oh my father, look how much pain you're in. He said, yes indeed, I feel double the pain that anyone else feels in this earth. Meaning that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was actually going to raise his level in Jannah, by actually giving him more difficulty, more pain. And also at that point he said, and he kept on dipping his hand and rubbing his head, and he said, إِنَّ لِلْغَمَّوْتِ لَغَمَرَاتُ وَإِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ لَسَكَرَاتُ. Verily, death has difficulties and pain. Verily, death has its trials and tribulations.
Let's go into what we said in the beginning of the show, the place that's very hot. And it's not something from Hollywood, Bollywood, it's a reality. It's the hellfire. In Arabic, Jahannam.
That's correct.
Can you describe it a little bit? Talk to us, paint a picture of this place where someone can end up eternally.
Yeah. You see, the concept of Jahannam is not the concept of Jahannam that, you know, perhaps Christians may have. You know, if you ask Christians, for example, okay, what is hellfire to you? Many of them would say, you know, hellfire is, they have this vague notion of what hellfire is. You know, they have these Hollywood images of perhaps, you know, Satan being there, the fire coming out of here, but then you end up falling into this piece of ground in which there's nothing there. As far as, you know, and they have these vague ideas. Some of them even say things such as, you know, Jahannam is like this earth anyway. You know, it's like this earth is difficult and you have to work hard in order to earn a living. That's a concept of Jahannam. The concept of Jahannam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran is totally different. It's totally different. It is a fire that has been lit for 70 years until it became white. And then 70 years until it became red. And then 70 years until it became black. It is a fire from which a stone was thrown, for the top of which only after 70 years it reaches the bottom. It is a fire that innaha lava. The Prophet says, "Kalla." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Kalla innaha lava." Nay, verily it is the lava. Lava in Arabic means something that as soon as it touches, vaporizes and destroys. So it is a fire that is so intensely hot that it vaporizes and burns straight away. You know, you nearly don't even have time to sweat. You know how something is so hot, there's no way of sweating because it just evaporates right away. This is not something that will evaporate. It actually destroys the whole skin straight away. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا لَظَى نَزَّعَةً لِلشَّوَىٰ Allah says. And it is a fire that has been created to scald the skin and to burn and tear away the skin as soon as it touches. So this is a concept of fire. And we know the fire is huge because the Prophet also said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says that إِنَّهَا تَرْمِي بِشَرَرٍ كَالْقَصَرِ كَأَنَّهَا جِمَالَةٌ صُفُرٌ SubhanAllah, it's an amazing verse. He said, verily the fire throws out sparks. When you see the sparks, you see the sparks coming out, you think that they're like hordes of camels, huge sparks. You know, camel's a huge animal, right?
Yes.
In front of it. When you see it sparking, it's like a huge horde of camels running away. And then he says, كَأَنَّهَا جِمَالَةٌ صُفُرٌ إِنَّهَا تَرْمِي بِشَرٍ كَالْقَصْرِ Yani, the spark itself is as huge as a castle. And when it goes and huge sparks come out, you think like they are these running hordes of camels. So they're so huge. And we know the Prophet also described that Jahannam has 70,000 rings, and each ring is a rope, and each rope is being pulled by 70,000 angels. It's an indication of how great the number is of Jahannam. We know that Jahannam also, it has an insatiable thirst, you know. It keeps on asking for more and more and more. And then, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he also tells in the Qur'an that he will ask Jahannam, هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ When Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Qaf, He says, and when Allah asks Jahannam, "Halim talati, are you full yet?" And Jahannam will say, "Hal min mazid." Oh Allah, I said more. I want more. And so the authentic narrations narrate that Jahannam will not be satisfied until Allah Subhanahu wa Taala stomps it with His own feet.
Now, for our non-Muslim viewers, who they heard some few Arabic words, and yeah. So they don't feel like they have to take an Arabic class.
Yeah.
Can you just define some of, like, you said Allah, you said the Prophet, you said some other Arabic words. Can you just, for our non-Muslim audience, can you define these?
Yeah, of course. Allah is God, the one and only deity worthy of worship. That's God, and He is not one of three. He is one in one. That is who God is, and He is the one worthy of worship. And Muhammad, that is the messenger of Allah, a man who lived 1400 years ago in Arabia. And we believe that he is the last of the Abrahamic prophets, and that all the other prophets attested to his prophethood, and he is a final prophet of God. And I also spoke about, what else did I speak about?
Talk about the... we'll go on as we go on, we just define some of these words. Now, why do we talk about this? Why is this serious to us? And many people, they think this is like some joke. And I want to tell the people, this is actually out of the love for the people, that we want to not see them there. We want to see them in paradise. So we're trying to warn them about the hellfire.
Yeah, because you see, the whole point is that religion is a serious business. It's serious. It's reality. It is truth. It is the truth.
It's not something you just do once
a
week
God
or once a month.
I mean, if you believe God exists, then you should know that God has power to do what He wills.
Yeah.
He has a right to do what He wills. We believe in a God that does what He wills. We believe in a God that is more merciful to us than our own parents. Yet at the same time, we believe in a God that also has the attribute of kingship. He is the King of the heavens and the earth. And being the King of the heavens and the earth, He has a right to honor and glory and authority and power and nobility, right? And so if someone were to then question His honor, question His authority, he's a King of the heavens and the earth. He can do what He wills and what he pleases. And He wished to have mercy on those people that He loves and He wants to be good to. And so He has given them an eternal paradise that the eyes have never seen.
Let's talk about that now. Describe the paradise for us.
Paradise, what we'll tell you a paradise is, Allah says in the Qur'an that He has prepared for believers that which no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, and no hearts have ever thought of. If you can think of anything that is the most beautiful thing that you can imagine, then paradise is better than that. And if you can imagine a place wherein there is no sleep, because you will not want to sleep, because you don't have to sleep, and plus it's all about enjoyment. If you can imagine a place wherein you don't have to do anything, everything is done for you, presented to you. If you can imagine a place wherein the first of your family and the last of your family are together with you. If you can imagine a place in which it's all about eternal blessings and happiness and about enjoyment. If you can imagine a place wherein you will dine and you will feast not out of hunger or need, but you will do so out of pleasure, because it is a means of pleasure for human beings. If you can imagine a place wherein you will be able to fly in paradise like a bird, that is what paradise is. If you can imagine a place that is everlasting, that is like the heavens and the stars, at each level being the distance of the heavens when you look up, that's just one level of 100 levels of paradise. If you can imagine rivers flowing in paradise, if you can imagine that whenever you want to eat a fruit, that the tree actually bends itself and comes to you and presents itself. If you wanted to look and if you wanted to eat a bird or a fowl, for example, it would become barbecued and presented in front of you straight away as soon as you desire it. If you can imagine the most, the absolute pleasure that you'd want, any sort of pleasure, any sort of blessing that you want, that is the perfection of pleasure, and that is exactly what Jannah is.
And that's forever.
Ever.
No more stress, anxiety.
No more stress. No more anxiety.
How about the headache? I got to take Advil. It's finished.
Yeah.
No more of those. No more cold, sickness, fever.
Oh, man. That's amazing stuff, isn't it?
Amazing.
Amazing. Because remember, time itself is a creation of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So God intended there to be time. So that's why we can't define God according to time.
Yeah.
It's His invention, right?
Yes.
So therefore, eternity itself is we're trying to say that according to our own definition of time. But that itself is a creation of God. So therefore, yes, forever. There is not ever going to be a time wherein, no, that's it, God's going to change His mind and say, no more, everyone get out of Jannah. Get out of paradise and go back to your earth or whatever it is.
And do you actually, in paradise, get to see the face of your Creator?
You do get to see the face of your Creator. And that's one of the most beautiful things, isn't it?
Isn't it,
for you to actually see Allah, you know, the one that you've been worshipping and praying to and saying, I wish I could see Him. You know, that is the worst thing that could really happen to you is for you to live an eternity you never be able to see God.
That would just be horrible.
People
get excited to meet the Donald Trumps of the world, the Michael Jacksons, they're pulling their hairs out, we should be striving to see our Creator.
That's right. That's why the Creator, Donald Trump. That's right.
People are they have, way back they actually had a show where now they'd film people, their reaction to who they wanted to meet. So now they get to meet this person, and then you can see him just going frantic. They're about to meet Michael Jackson or Donald Trump.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
good Lord.
This is something amazing to really see. But why do you think so many people aren't striving to meet their Creator? They're not really pondering over this.
Because I believe that there's a lot of distractions.
Distractions, huh?
Yeah, a lot of distractions. Like, for example, you know, messages from which people are unfortunately being fooled.
Yeah.
Now let me give you an example. Okay, let's say Coke. You know, when you think about Coke, what do you think of? You think about a nice bottle that's nicely shaped, right?
Yeah.
And when you see an advert for Coke, what do you see? You see, you know, girls in bikinis and men with pumped abs and ripped abs and, you know, pumped bodies and, you know, on the beach and they're playing beach volleyball or whatever it is, right? What's the reality? The reality is when you drink Coke, you get fat, right?
Yeah.
It's a reality. It's a distraction. You see, these are all distractions taking away from the reality. Music in the same way is a distraction taking away from the reality. If music was really happiness and enjoyment, why was it that the ones who had the most music, Elvis Presley, why did he have to kill himself? The guy had to kill himself. And he had anything he wanted, money, girls, music, whatever he wanted.
It was the epitome
happiness.
Right there.
Marilyn Monroe, why did she have to kill herself?
Yeah.
Queen of the cinemas. Why?
And the new one that just died that was mimicking her.
That's right.
Anna Nicole Smith.
Anna Nicole Smith. Why did she have to kill herself? She was, every man wanted her, right? And she had money, she had wealth, she had everything. Why did she? She's taking drugs like crazy. She's, what in the world? It's because these are distractions. Nothing gives you true pleasure like truly knowing your Creator. Nothing gives you pleasure except knowing your purpose in life. And believe me, when you don't know your purpose in life, that life is not worth living. When you think your purpose in life is to buy a dog, when you think that your key has a purpose, and your keychain has a purpose, and your door has a purpose, your car has a purpose, your computer has a purpose, and you don't have a purpose, that is absolutely pathetic. I'm sorry, but you're better than that. Okay? So I think, you know, stay away from all these distractions, clear your mind, don't let these distractions bother you, think about what is the purpose of a human being. Why was it created? Why am I here? Why am I going to pass away? And you know you're going to pass away. Your parents have passed away. Your family's passed away. People you know have passed away. You know you're going to pass away. Why are you going to pass away? What's going to happen when you pass away? Is it really that there's no, you know, nothing after death? Or is there really something? Where did you come from? Did you come from nothing? You came from nothing. So therefore, you know, what is the purpose of your life? Try and search for that. I'm sure once someone searches for that and really starts to give themselves value, that's when you start questioning and asking these really important questions. It's unfortunate that we, you know, give all these other things value. We don't give our own life value. That's just not acceptable.
Sheikh, a couple more points we want to cover. We want to give the people the formula to get to paradise and stay away from the hellfire.
Formula for getting to paradise and staying away from hellfire. Great. You know, paradise is surrounded by difficulty, and hellfire is surrounded by enjoyable, beautiful things. That's not to say that you can't enjoy Islam and that Islam is all about difficulty. No. It's just to say that ultimately, paradise is a very expensive gift. It's an expensive gift, right? Mm-hmm. When it's expensive, you've got to earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why Allah says in the Quran, God says in the Quran, He says, وَلِمِثْلِ ذَٰلِكَ فَلِيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And for the example of that, let the competitors compete. Let the competition begin, is what Allah is saying. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's a competition for the heavens and the earth. Why should we not compete? And then Allah also says in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَجَنَّاتِ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And compete you one another for the heavens, for the paradise that is the expanse of the heavens and the earth prepared for the believers. So let's compete. Eddie, you, me, we're going to compete for the Jannah. Because ultimately, that's eternal.
That's what I'm talking
right?
about.
And the 70 years of our life here is just not worth it.
It's not worth it
and
at all.
It's just going to go like that. I remember, when I was 10 years younger, and it's just now like, oh my God, look, that was just 10 years younger. And you suddenly see someone, right, you haven't seen 10 years ago. It's, oh my God, has it really been 10 years? And before you know it, your life is flashing out in front of your eyes. It's like a breeze in the wind, you know. And then you're on your deathbed, and everyone's rushing, and everyone's trying to, you know, pump your heart and put some drugs into you, try and revive you. And you see your life flashing away in front of you, and you say, oh my God, I've done nothing in this world. I have not left any lasting legacy. My parents don't know me. My children have disowned me. I have no khair, no goodness, nothing I've left on this earth. And that is the most... That's the worst thing you could do as a human being. I think that's just a poor example for a human being. Rather, give yourself value. Come back to God. Come back to the truth. Learn about your purpose in life. When you do, then you learn about paradise. Learn about how to come closer to God. That will bring you closer to paradise. So really, the gates to paradise is just like a key, and the key is the shahada. And that is shahada, meaning the testimony of faith. That is to believe that there's only one God. That is worthy of worship, and that Muhammad is his messenger. Muhammad, the Prophet, is his messenger. And that is a key to paradise. Then thereafter, when you believe in your heart, you have to have actions of the limbs, right? Because when you believe in your heart, you've got to show it on your limbs.
You got to act upon it.
You got to act
yeah.
upon it, right? Otherwise, if you don't act upon it, that's a hypocrite, isn't
yeah.
it? So first you believe, then you act upon it. So what's actions? Well, actions of Islam, such as prayer and fasting, and such as pilgrimage to Mecca, such as fasting in Ramadan, abstaining from food and from sexual intercourse in the days of Ramadan, not the nights. And these are the pillars of Islam through which you then enter into Jannah. And then you stay away from those things which God has prohibited, such as what? Such as associating partners with Him. Such as, for example, adultery. Such as, for example, killing a soul beyond that Allah has not given you right for. Such as, for example, dealing in interest and usury. And these are things that really will take you away from paradise, take you towards Jannah.
Let's talk about just one more point about the one thing you talked about, associating partners with the Creator. Elaborate on this a little bit. Why this is so dangerous?
Yeah, it's dangerous because, you know, people don't really think about this and they think it's something really simple because, you can just say God has a son, God has a partner, and God has a wife, and it's very simple words that we use these days without thinking about the gravity of it. But in reality, if you knew that God was a king, if you knew that God had great honor and his honor was greater than yours, then you'd be very careful about the words that you use.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, you're going to offend God. And imagine if the queen was in front of you, the queen of England, or you had the president of the United States. You'd be extremely careful about the words that you use.
Yeah.
And that is only a human being who's only elected for a few years. What about God, the eternal God? And are you not meant to be careful about associating partners with him? Because ultimately, think about it. If there were multiple gods, wouldn't there be chaos on this earth? Wouldn't there be chaos in the universe? One God would have this will, one God would have that will. And we know that even Christianity, with this form of Trinity, was only really not initially there. It was Unitarian belief before.
Yeah.
It was only in 300 AD in the Council of Nicaea,
yeah,
when they decided to actually take Trinity as the basic faith of Christianity, and then they killed off the Unitarians, and ultimately, that's when Christianity became a pagan religion. Because ultimately, what happened was that Rome wanted a political system through which they could maintain the pagan belief as well as the growing Christian population, and so they said. So Constantine said, basically, in 320 BC AD, if I remember correctly, he basically said, you know what, I need a system through which my people who are pagans will accept it, and the Christians will also accept it. So they came up with this pagan Christian faith of Trinity, three gods instead of one. So the pagans are happy because there's more than one, and Christians are happy because now, you know, they've got more than one God to go back to, and you know, this is crazy.
There's only one God.
There's only one God.
Worship him alone.
Worship him alone.
No partners with him.
No partners.
Simple message.
Very simple message.
Sheikh, I'd like to thank you very much for being with us.
It's really my pleasure.
Inshallah, we can have you back again.
It will be my absolute pleasure to be back again.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
And I'd like to thank everybody for sitting tight through another episode of The Dean Show. If you miss us on the TV in Chicago, all of our shows on thedeanshow.com, thedeenshow.com. And the main message of Islam, and if you can dig this, that you worship no one except the creator of the heavens and the earth and not his creation, and then you can dig Islam. It's as simple as that. We invite you to come back every week for a new show. Until next time, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.